someplace else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I am your host of Locked On Bills. Good to be with you guys here on this Thursday edition of the podcast. You know, it's the middle of January, and I didn't think we'd have so much news on a daily basis to dig into. But as it turns out, the Buffalo Bills have made a couple of transactions yesterday that we need to reflect upon, re-signing two of their own unrestricted free agents, Jeremiah Searles, the offensive lineman, as well as Lorenzo Alexander, the linebacker that we are very, very familiar with. So I want to break down both of those decisions to bring those players back, talk about some of the players that the Bills are meeting with at the Shrine Game practices, and there's been some Super Bowl odds for 2020 that have been released, and I think it's worth noting where the Bills stand in those odds if you aren't familiar already. So that's the plan for today's show, and let's get right into it here. The Bills did re-sign Jeremiah Searles to a one-year contract. He's 27 years old. He's been in the league for several seasons now. He played 12 games with the Bills last year after being released by the Panthers. He's played in 42 career games, and he's got 20 starts. So he's a player with NFL game experience, which matters a lot because this is a young offensive line by and large. Right now there's guys that are free agents in Ryan Groy, John Miller, and Jordan Mills. So we need to see what happens with those guys. But when you look at the guys on the roster, Connor McDermott and Ike Boker and Russell Bodine, he's a little bit older, I guess. Vladimir DeCosta, a little bit older. But Wyatt Teller and Deion Dawkins, a lot of young players. Four of those guys, really young players. It's nice to have some guys that have been in the league, played some games, and can be that the veterans that you need in any position group. And so we're certain to see some new faces brought into this offensive line group, whether it's the through the draft or through free agency. But a familiar face returns here in Jeremiah Searles to a one-year deal. Probably not a very lucrative extension, you know, probably somewhere near the minimum, maybe a touch more. Not a player that you go into a season and hope that he's your starter, but hopefully a guy that can give you a lot of depth. And one thing specifically with Searles that's intriguing about him, and you'll hear this a lot about offensive linemen, is versatility. And by having Searles on the roster, you have a guy that can play both interior guard or outside at tackle. And so that's very valuable, knowing that, you know, you're only going to dress seven offensive linemen on any game day, and one of your backups is the guy that can play multiple positions. And so that's very valuable to this offense, and he's got that experience, which matters a lot. One other thing with him is that he gives you a lot of value as a utility blocker. So, you know, sometimes you're not necessarily going to play an offensive lineman at guard or tackle, but, you know, if you want that third tight end to come into the game and have a guy lead block into a hole, or you can just do more, just kind of a move piece, a guy that's going to line up in multiple positions and use him as a blocker. The Bills did that a fair amount last season, and I guess that that'll continue moving forward. So a player that they know, someone they're familiar with. Brandon Bean spoke, Jeremiah Searles through the Bills wire had mentioned that him and Bean had spoken after the season, talked about that they both wanted him to be back, and they were able to get that deal done. And so now the Bills, in terms of free agent offensive linemen, stand with Ryan Groy, John Miller, and Jordan Mills as the guys with contracts that are expiring and decisions need to be made on whether or not they're going to pursue them or let them test the waters in free agency. Now, the bigger free agent re-signing is linebacker Lorenzo Alexander to a one-year contract. And this one was something I think everybody wanted to see get done. That, you know, the front office and coaching staff, obviously, Lorenzo coming back. And I know the Bills fans wanted to have Lorenzo Alexander back. And I think with Kyle Williams retiring, having Alexander back is absolutely critical to make sure that the veteran presence, those known leaders, the guys that not just for motivational purposes, but guys that will set the standard and make sure that people are accountable and connect Sean McDermott's message to the locker room. And with Kyle gone, Lorenzo Alexander still provides a piece of that, a big piece of being able to be that veteran leader in the locker room. And so I think from that perspective alone, there's a lot of value in bringing back Lorenzo Alexander, not to mention that he can still play. And he's been with the Bills for a few seasons now. And one thing I think we can all agree upon is that Alexander's been a playmaker in a variety of different ways, whether that's been playing as an off-ball linebacker and making plays in space, winning in pass coverage, special teams, rushing the passer from the interior or outside off the edge. I mean, he gives a lot of value in a lot of different spaces, and I think that's what he'll continue to do next season. One thing, if you look at how he was being used throughout the course of last season, the Bills want him to be a pass rusher. You can look at how they, if you chart, Pro Football Focus charts where guys line up. In the first 13 weeks of the season before Matt Milano went down with injury, he was playing primarily on special teams and on the defensive line. And then when Milano got hurt, Alexander played a lot more off-ball linebacker, true linebacker. And with Milano back healthy next year, you'd like to think that what will happen is on base defenses, your strong side backer will be Alexander, your Mike will be Tremaine Edmonds, and your weak side linebacker will be Matt Milano. Now, when they go nickel, which is going to be a ton of the time in the NFL, you play nickel more than you do base defense, you're going to have Taron Johnson in the slot. Or, we'll see Raphael Bush at times maybe be for bigger matchups, but certainly Taron Johnson had a great season, and he'll be a player that will want to be featured as much as possible next year. But then you can do a lot of different things with Lorenzo Alexander. You can rush him off the edge. You can rush him in those interior gaps, and obviously special teams. Special teams is how Lorenzo Alexander's made it to 35 years old in the NFL, coming into the league as a defensive tackle. And is now excelling as an off-ball versatile linebacker that lines up on the line of scrimmage sometimes. So, I mean, what an incredible story. Everybody loves his leadership. He's the Bills' choice for Walter Payton Man of the Year. I mean, just everything you can want in a player in your locker room. And so Buffalo does the right thing in bringing him back. One other thing to mention with Lorenzo Alexander is that the Bills know how to manage him. You know, they understand that he's an older player. Sean McDermott's done a wonderful job of giving him rest throughout the week and preserving him throughout the course of the season. And what that's allowed, I think, in a lot of ways, is for him to continue to make plays at this point in his career. And so, I think that matters a ton. To be able to maximize and get what's left in the tank for Alexander, Sean McDermott proved last year that he knows how to manage that type of player, and that'll continue this season. Lorenzo Alexander did make some comments, and he says that if you ask him right now, this would be his final season. And, eventually he has to move on to the next half of his life, and he's other things he wants to do. And so right now it sounds like this will be his final season, but you just never know how things will unfold. You just don't know. And so what was interesting about both the players that were brought back, Searles and Alexander, is they're both speaking very positive about the direction of the team, which you would expect, right? I mean, they're being brought back to this team. They agreed to a contract. They just got paid. Of course, they're going to speak highly of the direction of the team, but it felt like they kind of had, if you just, the undertones in their comments were that they had something to prove and that they believe in the direction in this young football team. And so that's good to see. And it's really good to see. There seemed to be some sincerity in some of the comments that I was able to digest here. So one other thing that I want to mention, just kind of looking at both of these deals getting done on the same day, is that it's very clear that the Bills have a plan. There's a very detailed plan of what Buffalo wants to do with $80-plus million in cap space, the third most in the league, with 10 draft picks, with some free agents that we're wondering if they're going to bring back or not. There's absolutely a plan in place, and they're attacking it. They're going after this plan, and it's good to see. It's good to see, and they're on the course. And so we'll see what happens. Obviously, there's some variables that they won't be able to control here soon. But it's nice to know that there's an organized, calculated, detailed plan that's in place. I'm going to take a quick break right here, and when we come back, I want to tell you about some of the players that the Bills have been meeting with at the Shrine Game practices. All right, so we just wrapped up day 3 of Shrine Game practices here in Tampa, Florida, or St. Petersburg. I see, it's funny, I'm staying in Tampa Bay, but the practices are in St. Petersburg, so I keep getting thrown for a loop on that. But, you know, the Bills contingency is still pretty strong. There's been a lot of the NFL personnel that have kind of faded out throughout the course of the week, but the Bills still have a ton of guys here. Obviously, the coaches that are coaching, but several scouts, and obviously Brandon Bean, the general manager, has been here still. And so he's very much engaged in this process. And so after practices, the teams meet with certain players. And so I want to kind of give you the rundown on the guys that I've seen them meeting with. First of all, Wyoming safety, Andrew Wingard. He, when you think about this, the Bills coverage, special teams coverage units, kick coverage, punt coverage, was really lacking. And so when you think about Wingard, ton of production at Wyoming, and got a nose for the ball, but you really project him most favorably to what he can do on special teams. And so the Bills spent some time this week meeting with him after practice. A couple of defensive tackles that have just been standouts throughout the course of all three practices, guys that couldn't be blocked. Kansas defensive tackle Daniel Wise, Texas A&M defensive tackle Daylon Mack. Both of those guys have really just been more than these offensive linemen can handle here in St. Pete, and explosive guys that can really get into the backfield and penetrate the line of scrimmage. And so both those guys have been standouts. Mack is a former five-star recruit. Daniel Wise is actually Dietrich Wise, NFL player's brother. And I think both those guys will be valuable rotational players at the next level. There's the obvious need at defensive tackle for the Bills with, you know, with Kyle Williams' retirement and, you know, Harrison Phillips. I've kind of mentioned a few times, I think he's more of a spark plug off the bench. And then Star Lotulelei, who's just a plug against a run and doesn't give you anything really in terms of getting into the backfield. So here's a couple of guys that the Bills have spent some time with that we know can do that. They met with Kentucky interior offensive lineman Bunchy Stallings. This isn't a guy that moves the needle much for me. I mean, he's kind of a slow-footed interior blocker that really, you know, he's got some technical issues. He got some mobility issues. But that said, there's, you know, he flashes from time to time, maybe an undrafted guy, maybe a late round guy for them to consider. Nick Linder, he's a center from Indiana. He's actually the brother of Brandon Linder, the Jaguars center, who's one of the better centers in the game. Linder is intriguing as a late round prospect, a guy that can probably give you some position flexibility to play center and guard, but more of a depth player, a guy that's he battles hard. He has some mobility, but you know, just kind of modest in terms of physical upside there. And then the last guy they spent a bunch of time with actually on Wednesday was Blaise Brown. He's a good player. He's a cornerback from Troy, and you want to talk about physical player, man, this guy will tackle anybody. And so I watched some of his tape as well. He's a guy that I think has some pretty good coverage instincts, has pretty good ball production. He's a guy that is just willing to compete. I just love that. Like, whenever he's tested, he is very, very, very competitive. And so I actually tweeted about him this past week, and Richard Sherman quote tweeted it. And so I know that he's the guy that's rooting for him, and so there's some connections there. And so Blaise Brown's a guy that Bill spent a lot of time with. You think about depth at boundary corner, a guy that can challenge Levi Wallace potentially and obviously give them some value on special teams. Like I mentioned, a super physical player. And so, you know, being able to cover kicks and punts is something that Buffalo needs to do, and maybe a couple guys that they've met with at Shrine Game, which, again, these are mid to late round prospects by and large. So depth players, guys that are going to help you on teams, seems like Buffalo's met with a couple of those. And Wingard, Andrew Wingard, the safety from Wyoming, and as well as Blaise Brown from Troy. Last thing I want to mention here, the sportsbook put out its Super Bowl odds for 2020. We haven't even finished the friggin' playoffs. We haven't even had the offseason. We haven't even had a draft. We have no idea what these teams are going to look like going into next season. But they went ahead and put out their early Super Bowl odds. And they don't like the Bills too much. The lowest odds for the Super Bowl are Miami Dolphins 100 to 1. But then the Bills are in this group with the Cardinals, Bengals, Broncos, Lions, Jets, and Raiders, and Bills. So they're all tiered together at 66 to 1 odds, second lowest. And so I don't know. I don't know if I agree with this. We'll talk a lot more in the coming weeks about the players on this roster. We'll need to see how it develops, who they bring in, how the draft goes. But I just feel like the Bills are in much, 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 much better position than the Cardinals, Bengals, Broncos, Lions, Jets, or Raiders. So if it were me making these odds, I'd certainly slot them behind. I certainly don't think Buffalo is a Super Bowl team next season. But kind of laughable if you ask me to put them in that tier of teams with the same odds. So look, there's a lot that needs to happen, and if anything, we fell for it. We're talking about it. They put out these odds, and we're talking about them. So that was a net win for them. But I certainly think it's a little off base there, putting them in that same tier. That's going to do it for today, guys. We'll be back again for you tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen. Maybe the Bills will re-sign a couple of players. It's been a news-filled offseason with the coaching shifts, with some, the CFL player Duke Williams brought in, already bringing back a couple players, Kyle Williams retirement. It's just been a lot already here in January, and so we'll keep our eyes and ears open for what's going to happen throughout the course of the day and reflect on it for the Friday show. And if not, we'll continue the State of the Roster series. So we're going to have something to talk about here Friday to get you into that weekend. And make sure you hit subscribe so you don't miss anything. Love 5-star ratings. Actually, the only kind of rating I like. So if you're going to rate, give me that 5-star. If you give a written review as well, that'd be very, very kind. You can interact with me on Twitter at TheJoeMarino. You can follow Locked On Bills on Twitter at Locked On Bills. Let's continue the discussion on social media and share thoughts and ideas. And if you have any comments, questions, concerns, don't be afraid to hit me up. I really enjoy those interactions. Thanks again for listening to today's podcast, and we'll catch up with you again tomorrow.